With everything that she was just saying, I have been feeling the weight. And so anybody that's been praying for me, thank you. I've been feeling the weight of just what I know, I've known from a little kid what I'm designed to do, but I just have ran away from it and not wanted to do it because it's scary. Because it means saying things that I feel like God showed me to people who are mad that you're maybe challenging certain status quo things, and that's been scary for me. I was the second child who I was very content with my binky, and I just wanted to be left alone. No thanks to Micah. I just wanted to be left alone. I just wanted to just chill and do my own thing. And God had other ideas. I've been a musician most of my life, and so the speaking thing is somewhat new to me and not really my forte. It's not what I would have picked for myself. I love music. I love doing what I do. I love what we're going to talk about today. I love atmosphere setting. But one thing I've had to start coming into is that I've had to start accepting and not denying is the fact that the way that I see things, the world, everything, is to see them systematically. That's the phrase that I see very systematically. And so if I start talking and I start just rapid fire explaining, running through a whole system of things, it's because that's the way my brain works. I don't think I'm smarter than other people. I think Einstein said it best. If you take a fish and you put him in a tree and tell him to fly, he's going to look stupid. But that's because birds are designed to fly and fish are meant to swim. There is genius that has expressed itself in different ways. I think that's what each one of you, your individual gift and callings are. And I hope to be a catalyst of that. I see systematically. I also, God told me, he told me here about a couple years ago, he said, you're a librarian. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, you don't need to tell everybody, like, you don't need to teach the right information. Just point people to literally the journey that you've been on. And so that's kind of what I want to do. Another way to put that, and I said this last Tuesday, I kind of extrapolated on the gifts of tongues and interpretation. Tongues is anything that you are praying out that you don't see clearly, even prophetic things. Pastor Darrell, my mom, they talk in prophetic mode. They'll use analogies, metaphors, they're pointing to truths, but they're not clear, and so they can see how they are working, and so this metaphor fits this specific truth, but not necessarily. Well, so I'll just say my gift has been kind of a rub for me, and I've had to learn how, like, what, why am I different? And I'm different because all my life I've grown up around prophetic people, and the whole time in my head I'm thinking, yeah, but what does that look like? How does that work? Like, how does it ground itself into practical reality? How do I play that out? How do I walk that out? How do I make that turn into something that's usable for me? And so what I'm going to do today is hopefully to do that. I'm going to give you the prophetic side of what I feel this deep. So it's not that I feel it. A bunch of people have been saying it, that God is about ready to do a new thing on the earth. He's about ready to, so again, we've been talking about, you know, a move of God or a revival or different, there's been talk about different stuff like that. And so my part I feel like to add to that is to give a little bit of what my opinion, again, there's other parts that may have more clarity to fill this picture in of what it's actually going to look like and walk it out. But I feel like I'm supposed to give my part. Before I do that, I want to give a little clarity to three points that Darrell talked about. for the last 2 weeks. The first one is, which was his main message, is that we're going through an atmospheric shift. So I looked up just, you know, obviously a definition of atmosphere, and the two definitions for atmosphere that I came up with, and I think I have to put them on a slide, are a surrounding influence or an environment, or an intriguing or singular tone, effect, or appeal. And I started thinking about this, and I was thinking about why he's talking about it, and he was talking about that God is getting ready to do an atmospheric shift, or that's what is going to happen. But I started to think, how do you change an atmosphere? And I realized, you in order to change the atmosphere, you can't focus on the atmosphere. In actuality, you can't change an atmosphere directly. You can't directly change the atmosphere. You can't just say, I want it to be cold in here immediately. What do you have to do if you want this room to be cooler? What would you have to do to make the room cooler? You would have to do the correct steps. You would work the mechanisms that were necessary to make the room cooler. So for this, it would be to walk back to the thermostat, flip it over to cool, and turn it down. The reason, so me pointing that out is obvious. The reason I'm saying that is because it feels like the way we talk about or the way that people are thinking about this is as if it's a absolute sovereign thing of God that he's going to do, and we're just waiting for it. And we're just waiting for this to happen. And what God basically has moved me to is, no, and I love that Pastor Darrell said it, and I hope that it didn't offend some of you guys. Well, maybe it needed to. I don't know. But he said, some of you have been praying for stuff so long, and nothing's happening because you need to do something. You need to stop praying and do. And I don't know. It's a statement that needs balance to it, obviously. But some of you need to stop praying for something and start doing something. You need to do what's in front of you with the work of your hands. And what that looks like for everybody is always different. Get a drink of water. This is water, I promise you. Dyke said Godka. Easy up there in the balcony. So this is what I wrote down. In order to change the atmosphere, you can't focus on the atmosphere. You can't change an atmosphere. In order to change an atmosphere, you would have to change the system that creates the atmosphere. In order to change the system of the atmosphere, you would have to first break down the mechanisms of how that system works. This is what I mean by thinking systematically. An example of this would be that in the room, but let's take it outside of that. You can't change your life. You can't. Everything that's happening in your life, you can't just automatically change it. You can't just be poof and be different. But you can change a few things. You can change the way you think. You can change your perception. You can change the way that you speak. You can change certain things about yourself. You have control over certain things. I'll just read this. You can't change your life, but you can change your thinking, which will lead to a change in action. You change your thoughts, you'll change your words. You change your words, change your actions. Change your actions over time, it becomes a habit, and your habits create your life. Does that make sense? That is a system. That's the way the system works. So there's a lot of people complaining about their life being all tragic. Well, just find the system. Just figure out the system. Well, and this is what I want to point out. So the system that needs to change is, I'll just actually flip over because I was going to say this at the end, but I need to say it right now. There's three things that need to change within Christianity, and this is the fundamental aspects of the system. The fundamental tenets by which we gather by. So why did you choose to come to this church? What are the tenets of why we gather in this church? Are we gathering because Caleb or Bob or Julie are right about everything? Maybe for some of you it is that. You should question that. You should wonder, why is it that you're here? And I'll skip to the end because I'm going to talk about this next week. You should only be here because God set you in this family. You need to be appointed somewhere by God. Not because, I'm not going to skip ahead. The problem with that I'll just shortly point out, and I'll talk about more next week. The problem with most Christianity is they're gathering around who is right. And they have their doctrinal statements about who is right. Which I'm not saying truth is not important, but I'm saying if the fundamental ethic that you're gathering by is you have all the truth, so you gather with people who you agree with, the moment that God gives somebody a different revelation that's maybe different than yours, you then have to not be in relationship with them. And it's almost like we've trained people to think inside of, well, this is our group, and you know, everybody else, we just, you know, silently judge every other church, whatever. And again, I'm not speaking to anybody individually. I'm saying the system. This is the system that is feeding into you. You may be resisting it really well, but the system is there. So the question would be, where did the system come from? I didn't finish my things. First one is the fundamental tenets. These are the things that need to change. The tenets that I could put values, the value system that we choose to gather by. The second one is the way that we engage with each other. So the core values on how we engage with each other. I'll leave that alone for now as well. That one I have a lot of thoughts on, but I'm not even getting into that one. And I'm using the term core values. How many of you ever heard of the term core values? So a core, like there, you have a value system, but if you would weigh each value system up, each value up against each other, like when you're decision-making, that's all you're doing is you're checking your internal, maybe unconscious core values to actually decide what you're going to do in that specific situation. Well, if you do that enough times, you will actually reveal to yourself what is the most precious thing to you, what your absolute core value is, because your ultimate decisions that you're ultimately going to make will be based on, when if pushed hard enough, will be based on your core value. And so all of these things are, and again, your core value, that is what I'm saying. The system, the core value makes up the system. So the third one is, and this is the one I want to talk about today, is the way that we get to God or truth, like how we get there. So, I'm not really sure if I want to. Yeah, let's just get into that. Actually, can you just play the PragerU video before you do. This is the, I'll preface this because I'm going to commentate on it a little bit, but in thinking through this, God led me to, first of all, in 2012, I started listening to a podcast of a guy named Chris Vallotton. How many of you have heard Chris Vallotton? So I listened to a podcast of a guy named Chris Vallotton, and I heard him start saying things that I didn't understand, and he was saying stuff at the time that he was saying, I still don't understand this, but this is what I feel like God's saying. And so I've been germinating on this for a long time and trying to play it out as best as I can. The word that he got from God in 2012 was, I'm moving from denominationalism to apostleships. Ask me what that means. And so he goes, well, what does that mean? And God said, in denominationalism, you gather because you agree. But in apostleships, you gather around family and where God sets you in family. And in Psalms, the scripture says God puts the orphans in families. And so there's a lot more that I'm going to talk about. I have a video for that for next week. But then he took me. So from that, I started studying all of that kind of that concept out. And what that led me to was to realize what time that we're in. So all of what I'm wanting to say today is to start a conversation, to say, hey, Caleb, here's what he sees. This is what time we're in. There's so much in the Bible about knowing the season and the time that you're in and having voices come up and say, for a long time, we've had voices speak to it. Hey, this is coming. Hey, this is coming. And I feel, this is what I feel heavy on me, is to say, the time is now. Here's what it looks like. So what it's going to look like is, and this is what God showed me, study the Great Reformation. How many of you have ever heard of the Great Reformation? Martin Luther, 95 Theses. This video is going to explain that, and then we can talk about it.
Just go. 500 years ago, on October 31st, 1517, a German Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther posted some complaints he had about the Catholic Church on a church door in Wittenberg, Germany. Luther was upset by the church practice of selling what were known as indulgences to wealthy patrons. Indulgences might be loosely described as get-out-of-hell-free cards. Pay this amount to the church, and the church would make sure you don't suffer unduly for your sins in the hereafter. Luther felt very strongly that the practice not only made the church look bad in the eyes of the common people, but had no scriptural basis. He believed the church needed to reform itself or would lose its legitimacy. Nobody, including Luther, thought that his complaints, and he had made a list of 95 of them, would amount to much. He simply wanted to spark a discussion on an issue that deeply concerned him. Instead, he set off a chain reaction that literally changed the course of history. The name we give to this change is the Protestant Reformation. Had Luther limited his criticism of the church to indulgences, as his friend, the Dutch scholar Erasmus, urged him to do, the matter might have been resolved and the old order preserved. But the headstrong Luther was not someone to be restrained. Luther was what we would call today a flawed individual. He was brilliant and charismatic, but he was also vindictive and stubborn to a fault, and at the end of his life, sadly, anti-Semitic. Luther believed there should be no separation between the Bible and the believer. Every individual should have access to the Word of God, Luther contended, as any priest did, or even the Pope. We take this view for granted now, but in the 16th century it was a radical concept. And here's why. For more than 1,000 years, the church had been the dominant religious and political authority in Europe. It alone taught Christians how to understand the Bible. Luther was now challenging the very basis of this authority. Not surprisingly, the church didn't take it well. What began as a squabble between a bold monk and the Catholic hierarchy soon developed into a titanic and bloody struggle that split Europe into opposing religious factions. But the consequences of Luther's ideas extended far beyond a religious dispute. It's not an exaggeration to say that as a result of Luther's ideas, the modern individual was born, a free actor, endowed with God-given rights that exist independent of government or any other institution. Each person could find those rights by reading and interpreting the Bible for himself. Of course, to do that, you had to be able to read the Bible, and throughout the first millennium right up until Luther's day, only a very few people could. Books, including the Bible, were all handwritten, a process usually that took months. This made books rare and expensive. Furthermore, most Bibles were written in Latin, the language of the church, a language familiar only to the clergy and educated elite. This exclusivity was one of the many ways in which the church maintained its power. Luther answered this problem by translating the Bible into everyday German so that anyone could read it. But his efforts would all have been for naught except for the recent invention of the printing press by a fellow German, Johannes Gutenberg. The printing press allowed for the first time in history books and soon thereafter pamphlets and newspapers to be widely distributed. Without the printing press, Luther would have likely suffered the same grim fate of other reformers before him, like Jan Hus, who was tried, convicted of heresy, and burned at the stake. But because of the printing press, Luther's movement could not be stopped, and indeed could not be controlled. Bloody religious wars between Catholic and Protestant forces quickly followed on the heels of Luther's new ideas. They lasted for 200 years and cost countless lives. The 30 Years' War alone from 1618 to 1648 is reputed to have led to about 8 million deaths from fighting, famine, and disease. But out of all this carnage, many positive changes came too. The Protestant empowerment of the individual led to capitalism and the Enlightenment, just to name two byproducts of Luther's protest. The American Revolution, with its idea that individuals endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights should be free to form their own government, was another. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, all but one was a Protestant. Pronouncing a verdict on an epoch as significant as the Reformation is very difficult. Perhaps it's best not even to try. But we can say this. No other single figure made more of an impact on the modern world than the German monk, Martin Luther. And even he would be surprised to know that. I'm Stephen Cornels of Wartburg Theological Seminary for Prager University.
He's not here. You don't have to clap for him. If all of that was gibberish to you, which I hope it wasn't, and I don't think it will be for most of you in here, but to basically sum that up in a little bit, Martin Luther, the Catholic Church at the time, the Catholic Church at the time was they had indulgences, which if you could buy your way into heaven, and he didn't even expound upon it. I've read things where people actually were saying it didn't even just go that far. You could actually it was almost like heaven real estate that they were selling. Like, buy this amount of money will buy you this big of a mansion, and there was some far out weird stuff that was going on, and so he was protesting that aspect. So there's two things he was mainly protesting. You can go read all 95 of the main, but the two contentions were that one and the fact that in that day, if you put yourself back there, they weren't very educated. The modern man wasn't educated enough to even read. They could barely read, but barely anybody could read the common tongue, which he was a German, so they could barely read the common tongue, let alone Latin. Latin was for the up-and-ups, the prestigious. It was still a very classist society. And so if you weren't born into wealth or prestige of any kind, there's no way you could read Latin. You wouldn't even have the opportunity to go to a school that prestigious that would teach you how to do that. And so he was saying, hey, wait a second, this is not okay. Like, I know what this book says because I am educated enough to read it, and it's not okay that these people don't get to know what's in this for themselves. Like, and not only that, but then he started applying both those together. You're also taking advantage of these people. You're making them pay money to you for stuff that's not even in here. Like, why are you? This is weird. And so that's basically, it was his 95 This Is Weirds. And that's what it was. The reason God took me back to that, so I'll go through this in a second, but I just want to say this. The reason God took me back to this is because he started showing me analogs, so correlations between that time. And I was confused at first. I was like, God, why are you showing me this? And he was like, pay attention. He said, what in this video, the reason I play this is because it sums up all of the major points that he showed me, which is, I love PragerU. It's a God thing I found this video. But I don't know what other word, correlation, I guess that's what, the analog, the correlation to today, modern day, is two things. First of all, it took one person standing up and doing something. He didn't just whine to his friends. He didn't post on social media that he had, and again, not posting on social media is actually a good form of protest, but he actually did all of those things. Plus, he went to he directly confronted the people. He figured out a way to do it. He got in, he was a clergyman. He got in the system. He had a voice. He worked his way up He did his due diligence to have the voice, to have the influence, to be able to influence the system. So one man was prepared for a specific season. I don't know if you're getting this. This is all through the Bible. One man stands up and is prepared for the day of influence. So he is ready. Then God prepares the culmination of time. I'll just say it that way, the culmination of time. What was the culmination of time? What was the thing that was different? It said it in the video. People that tried to do what he did literally just got burned at the stake. What is the one thing, the advent of the printing press? Yeah. Yes. Technology. I have my own problems with technology. But we have to see deeper than that. Yes. Technology is something that is happening. It is an expansion of the human mind collectively. And I would propose that we stop being scared of it and understand it instead. Yes. Yes. And we use it to our advantage. I know that it's scary, but instead of running away from it, let's be wise. I'm not saying run into it. There's studies that are coming out as well about, you know, having your kids on social media at a young age, how that affects their brain and stuff like that. I'm not saying just let it free for all. I'm saying let's be wise about it, but we have to stop running away from the culture. We have to stop wishing the world wasn't like it is. It is. So we need to do something about it. Let's push into it. Let's grow up and let's actually have influence. And you don't just get to say you have influence. You have to do the things necessary to have influence. And this is a statement, I'm kind of going on my notes here, but this is a statement that I've been saying and I feel like God's been kind of forming in me is humility equals influence. Everybody's attracted to genuine humility. If you stand in front of somebody and you show them, I don't have anything behind my back. I'm not trying to twist your arm behind your back. I have open handed. They are actually willing to listen to you. That is a primer for influence. I'm that way. If you come at me, I'm like, okay, I guess we're just fighting now. Cool. I don't want to, great, you're really changing my mind. I don't want to be like engaged in that way. But if somebody genuinely says, hey, I don't know how to say this, but I feel like that's hurting you. And I feel like this could actually make your life a lot better. I'm like, down, let's talk. Show me the entire way it works. And I'll start asking questions because I want to know those things. But I need to be influenced. I need my heart won. Don't tell Bob. Don't tell Dad. Dad, if you're watching, I'm not crying. Stop it. Thanks. The reason that chokes me up is because that I can feel the heart of God. He's sad. He's sad to watch us, the representatives of Him, not genuinely caring about people's hearts. And again, I'm not trying to condemn any, I'm talking to myself. I'm not condemning anybody, but caring enough to figure out how do people work? How do they work? How can I talk to them and not just shout the truth at them? But how do I get that? How do I be leaven? How do I weave myself into society and make the whole loaf rise? How do I do that? How do I be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Or a Daniel? How do I be a Daniel? Daniel served two kings that were not godly kings for his whole life. And he changed an entire nation. How do we be a Joseph? Joseph was in the lowest of lows. And because he won the influence of the king, he was a man prepared for a specific time. And when that time arrived, he took his opportunity and it saved a nation.
Yes, yes, yes. So
I'm just crazy enough to think that one of you or all of you could actually be that. Yes. And I'm not joking. So I'm going to go through, so I just had some commentary on the video and I pulled out some of the quotes. You can start with the first one. I'll just read them. Nobody, including Luther, thought that his 95 complaints would amount to much. He simply wanted to spark a discussion on an issue that deeply concerned him. Instead, he set off a chain reaction that literally changed the course of history. Luther wasn't aiming for anything grandiose. He was just simply willing to do something. He didn't just leave it at having an opinion or even just talking about an opinion. He did something. None of us truly realize our potential impact. This is why one of my core values is you matter. I'm going to talk about core values in a few weeks, but one of mine, you matter. I'm going to say this in all the drama that I can. One of my other core values is the Imago Dei, the image of God. You are an image bearer. Each person is an image bearer of God. I don't think that if you truly understood what all that meant, that you would treat people that are in front of you the way that you probably do. You would have a little more respect. You would have a little more pause with how the power that is sitting in front of each of you. You would be careful with how you use people's names. And again, if this is coming across like preachy, well, I am preaching, I don't know, whatever. These are core values. I don't meet up to these. I have to remind myself of this stuff because I get mad. I get frustrated with people, but I have to remind myself, you matter and so do they. And if I want to matter, I have to say they matter. Doesn't matter who it is. And the dehumanization of people because of politicization is gross. Keep disagreeing on what the right idea is all day, perfectly. I'm just talking about honor. Honor, and this is a whole, this is not even on my notes. Some of you may be trapped inside of still thinking that dishonor means, or a disagreement equals dishonor. Right. And that's just crazy. Yeah. Right. We have to move beyond that. Yeah. I can disagree with you because I love you. Because I think that my ideas actually are going to help me, you, and the whole group. Right. Yes. Like, I hope that you disagree with me when I have a stupid idea. Because I have a lot of them. I need that pushback. Each one of us do. Each one of us need that accountability. Iron sharpens iron. We are an entire body fitted together by whatever joint supplies. If you aren't supplying your joint, no, I'm not talking about that joint. Sorry, Christian or Christian humor. Church kid humor, I guess I should say. I apologize if I come off a little irreverent. I'm a pastor's kid, so some of the irreverency and stuff is... I've just grown up in church, and you just kind of... I don't know. I'm used to just jumping over the pews, so... Okay, the next one. Luther believed there should be no separation between the Bible and the believer. Every individual should have the same access to the Word of God as any clergyman. The proof that I would throw to this, Revelation 1:6 and 5:10 actually say the same thing. They say, you have made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God. Where's Jen? There we go. And they will reign on the earth. The term priest is that term that is used for the Old Testament priest. In the old, under the law, there was one tribe to do the priestly work for the rest of Israel. Why? Because they had to diversify. They're going through the wilderness. They had to spread up their duties, whatever they had to do. Some had to, you know, protect. Some had to do, they had to do different stuff to survive. But that is not what God ever intended. He saw into, and again, a lot of the prophets talked about this, seeing into the future, seeing each one of us as a kingdom of priests. We are a kingdom of priests. So we are to rule judiciously, but also individually be in God's face. We are a priestly order to him. The priest is one who goes before God open-faced. He sees God fully. Moses was an order of a priest. He went to the mountain. He saw God, well, he saw God's backside, whatever you want to do with that. It was glorious. And it was also, there was smoke. You can do whatever you want with that. I'm not saying God farted, but I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it. Sorry. Again, I'm sorry. Guys, be serious. We're in church. I don't know why this is here. Yeah. This is good to slam if I want to make a point. God is always trying to get us to know him. I don't know if you know this, but the word know in the Hebrew and the Greek, the Jewish mind thinks deeply about that word. There are actually layers to the word know. And we even know this because of what I just did. Know. I know this. Because we have layers. We just say, use the same word. They just didn't use the same word. It's translated into the word know, but the Greek word is the word gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. Gnosis. Gnosis, if you want to, whatever. The Hebrew word is yada. Yada. It is the closest form of connection. It says, when Abraham... and Sarah, when they conceived, it doesn't say the word for, it says that he knew her. It's the word yada. It's to say that Isaac, so again, I'm going to go into what it means in a Jewish mind. It means the promise was born out of intimate connection, to deeply know. The promise is always born out of intimate connection. Same thing with the word gnosis. And so God is always trying to know. He's trying to know our hearts, and he wants us to know his heart. That communion, that deep-seated communion is what he's looking for. And so this separation between him and anything that will hinder, he's always trying to do it. Well, today... see what I wrote here. I didn't write that down. I'll just say it. So the analog of that for today is, I did write this down. It's not, this is the thing that's hard to get across. It's not deep enough to just give somebody a Bible. The reason is because to translate it into their tongue, you have to understand that, and again, no, I'm not criticizing what Luther did, whatever. That was a step in the right direction. I'm just trying to tell you, it's not done. It's not done. Luther was able to take his step with the printing press. What is the thing today that we just, that's the most recent advent onto the world? The internet. We now have access to not only a Bible that you can physically read, you have access to every single translation that you could ever think of. You have access to every single commentary that you could ever think of, and pretty much every book that has ever been written theologically whatsoever, even close to it. Like, you have access to everything. So the analog of the reason, so I'll jump to my main point. I feel like this is the next great reformation is what God's wanting to do. The time is here. And that's kind of what my message main point is the time is here. The internet is here and it's not going anywhere. It's not. People are going to start diving into, they're going to, and this is where I feel like I'm supposed to be a sounding board for this season. And I'll keep talking about it in a bunch of different ways because I have a lot to say on it. But the main point is God is got it, the culmination of time has arrived for our time. The internet is the proof to that. There is now, so what, and I'm not that I am anything special, but I have literally, I'm proof of that. I have taken the last 12 years of my life and intently, anybody who knows me can attest to this, I've intently studied. I didn't go to a four-year seminary degree or whatever, but I have intently studied. Every church father that I can read, every tradition, I wanted to see it in and out. Even Jewish people, what they had to say about stuff. I've studied every single thing that I had, and I'm not done. Obviously, I'm not making a case that I know everything, but I'm saying I know the system because I've seen it. And what most of you don't know, because it hasn't been, it's not that it's been hidden in some nefarious way, but most of you don't see the system. Like most of you, can anybody tell me what the first split in the entire church was? Can you tell me when it is? What year? Did anybody know the church split? The church split after this, but this was in the 1500s. The first one was in 1054. It's called the Great Schism. Like, again, there's no shame in this. I don't think it's your fault that you don't know that. Like, do you know why you think what you think? Like, where'd you get your theology from? Can you background the roots of like, okay, I listened to this person and they were influenced by these people. They're very Spurgeon, you know, my theology, I got a lot from Spurgeon. Does anybody know who Charles Spurgeon is? I'm very, you know, Charles Finney rather than Spurgeon. Finney came before Spurgeon. So, I'd rather, you know, I'm very Lutheran. I'm very Calvinistic in my thinking. I'm very Augustinian. I like Gregory of Nyssa, personally. I love his theology. But all of this stuff, I, again, don't feel shame that you don't know any of this stuff. There's no shame. I'm just saying random words of people. They're not random. There actually are people. But I'm saying these to prove a point. There have been great voices that have said things about God and explained things that are brilliant. And they have had revelation. So I'm saying from the past, there has been great revelation that we now think about it this way. I'll pause on it. Yeah, you have access to that. Thank you. I should have finished a sentence. I'll put it this way. In order to hear what Augustine said in, you know, the City of God in something, I don't know. In one his first volume of that or whatever, you like maybe 50 years ago, you'd had to travel to London, England, and find the right library that had that specific book in it. And then you would have to actually know the questions you need to ask in order to even find that, because you'd have to ask the librarian, like, hey, I want this book, where's it at? So then how do you even get that knowledge to know what that book is? This is what I'm pointing out. There's still more to go. There's still things that are being hidden from you. Again, I'm not implying that they're nefariously being hidden from you from certain people or whatever. It's just ignorance breeds ignorance. We don't know what we don't know. So I am trying to be, and this is where my gift is to be a librarian. So I'll tell you end goal. I'll just stop for a second. End goal for me, I don't know how to do this. I want to create an app that you could have on your phone that you could literally, that's actually categorized to where you don't have to think. You don't have to think. Now, you could just open it up and you could just say, it would just have categories. You could search categorically. Or you could just search by theological viewpoints and it would categorize them for you of like, okay, I want to know about eschatology. Well, how do I learn about eschatology? Well, this app guides you through that. Okay, across time, across church history, this is how people have thought about eschatology. There's futurism, there's historicism, there's idealism, and then there's preterism. And then you could then go into subsections of, okay, let's read about what these people, how they form their arguments about these specific things. And you could learn things about God from different various viewpoints. So you could get a well-rounded view instead of a very honed-in, specified view. Now, am I implying that every single one of you have a very narrow view? No, I don't know. So I'm not speaking specifically to any of you, and I hope you don't. I'm just trying to critique the system. The system doesn't help you with that. And most pastors, again, I love my dad because he actually has been bold enough to stand up and do it. Most pastors, and again, I'm not name dropping anybody. I hate talking generalities because I'd rather talk specifically, but in this, I have to talk in generalities. Most pastors are not going to tell you, hey, everything I just said is my opinion, but I don't know if I'm right about that. I think I'm right. I 100% believe that I'm right, but I don't know if I'm right. You know why they won't do that? Because I need you to keep coming back to my church. I need you to depend on me. I need you to depend on me so you keep coming back. I'm not here to... So Chris Vallotton puts it this way. The system that is what it's creating is that I have to get up here and I have to convince you that I'm right every single time. I have to preach to convince rather than preaching to inspire. Or even just preaching to share my gift. It's no longer about sharing my part. It's about trying to make sure you don't get out of line. Now, could that imply, you know, malicious intent with some people? Yes, there have been people that maliciously have, they know what I'm saying. They know what I know. They know that what they think is the truth, there's actually counterpoints to that that maybe should be talked about, but they don't want to. There have been nefarious means by going about that. But I like to assume that it isn't that. It's just people just don't know what they don't know. I'm running out of time. I'll keep talking about that. I think you guys get the point. The point of that, I don't know, it's not even up there anymore. The point of that one was, I didn't mean to go on a huge rant, but God is trying to close the gap. He's ever trying to close the gap. If everything I just said didn't make sense, just know this. He's ever trying to close the gap between him and you. He wants no separation. He wants you to know him face to face. And all I was trying to point out is some of our theologies keep his face hidden from us because we don't see him clearly. Okay? That's all. Let's move to the next one. For more than 1,000 years, yeah, that one. I don't have my pages numbered, so. For more than 1,000 years, the church has been the dominant religious and political authority in Europe. It alone taught Christians how to understand the Bible. Luther was now challenging the very basis of this authority. Not surprisingly, the church didn't take it well. What I'm saying right now, this is why I've been scared, is because I know that saying what I'm saying, the people who do have nefarious means, they don't like people saying this stuff. They don't want people to stand up and point out, hey, this is weird. This is weird. I have 95 weirds to tell you. And again, I can't tell Luther's intent, but I can tell my intent, I don't want to tell you this stuff. I want to run away and hide. I do. I just want to go be by myself. I don't like this. It's not fun to get up and share your opinion and have everybody criticize all your opinions all the time. But somebody has to say something. Somebody. If I see my people, like this is where Moses, think about it this way. Moses, why did Moses, when he saw his brothers being beaten, Why, when he was still in Egypt, before he left, why did he do something? What caused that thought in his head that this is not right? Because that's just the way, if you were an Egyptian, that's just, you know, that's just the way that you would do something. And if you're an Israelite, that's just what happens to you, you know? Why did he think differently outside of the status quo? Because he was born under royalty. And under a king in his kingdom, everything is a part he feels responsible for. I have to do something about this. He has that. He has that royal, what's the word? The responsibility. I don't know. I'll just leave it at that. I just want to wake that up in all of you. Is we have a royal responsibility to do something. And this is where I like, so I, like, I just think of, like, I'm not, anybody who is, like, Mike Main is very active on Facebook. I keep doing what you're doing. I'm not trying to criticize, like, I know I said that. I'm not trying to criticize. That is doing something. It's influencing the minds of people. Yes, yes. Do something. Yes. Speak from your heart. If you see something that's worth saying, you must say it. Especially in our day. I know it's scary. This is what family's supposed to be about, though. We have to say it. We have to step up. We have to do something. So, this is what I wrote down for this. Put that one back up there for 1,000 years. Today, the Protestants that broke away from the system that was controlling the truth for its own gain, have forgotten their history and have created systems that do the same thing now. Do the next one. As a result of Luther's ideas, each person could read and interpret the Bible for himself. Of course, to do that, you'd have to be able to read and read Latin. At that. Throughout the first millennium, right up to Luther's day, only very few people could read. The recent invention of the printing press allowed for the first time in history, books to be widely distributed. And I said this, the analog of this is the advent of the internet. The internet is the same thing as the printing press. Now, I wrote this, the only hindrance to what I was just saying playing out is the system, and I would call it the system. And again, it's not just a religious system. The political and religious, Jesus actually said this at one point. He said, beware of two things. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. In our modern language, we would say, Chris Vallotton puts it this way, the leaven of the Pharisees is the religious spirit. The leaven of Herod is the political spirit. Beware that you don't get trapped up by those two things. That is the system. The system. It wants to divide and conquer. That's the goal. It doesn't care what you're arguing about. It just wants you to argue. It doesn't want genuine conversation. It doesn't actually want free speech. It doesn't want to talk about ideas. It's just power. Who is in power? Yes. Yes. Who has power over who? Yes. Yes. That is the system. Yes. And the way you break out of the system is by saying, oh, I don't care about who has power. I just want to talk. And somebody needs to be brave enough to do that. Yep.
We had talked previously and that we didn't know for sure if I was going to say anything on this one. We are going to do a question and answer at some point, but I felt like this was really a time to say this. And it's kind of prophetically, but kind of the journey where we've been is that in that system, Bob and I were in that system. And we had, I kept sitting there thinking, those were still our family. It was not easy to leave the system, but we felt led to leave a denomination. It was not an easy path, and it was not fun path at times. It was like we questioned ourselves, but we wanted to leave the system. It wasn't leaving the people. And I think that's really, really important to bring up. And I've actually brought myself to a full circle healing time. And when he spoke to me in 2018. And so many of you have heard this. And if you've not, you're watching, you haven't heard this. He spoke to me one day and he's like, I mean, it was one of those, I guess you'd call it a Kairos moment. You haven't built anything yet. You've just established yourselves. And I feel like the Lord spoke to us like it was like we were stepping out into something new and establishing. I mean, I think other people have done this too, but you know, we would hear all the time, even in that past time and plowing the way of why we felt the Lord do, not out of rebellion. So again, like Martin Luther, I guess it was a protest, but we're like, no, we can't go this way. We had so many offers to go the system and we would have been way farther financially in all kinds of ways. It looked like more influence, but it was in a way climbing the ladder. And the Lord, he kept working this. And at times people were like, well, who's your covering? Who's your covering? Who's over you? I'm like, what does that even mean? The Lord is. But in America, and I don't know, maybe it was in Europe too. Obviously it was with the way that you're talking about the system. Like, are we supposed to have that? Are we supposed to have that? Or we're just a man, we're just whatever. Who can trust that? But again, if you go back to the accountability that you're talking about, and that's why I believe we've established, it's like everybody's accountable. Somebody that's up in a talking head, like we're talking right now, we're accountable. We are accountable to conversations.
Doubly accountable.
Yeah, we are accountable to conversations. We're accountable to process this out with you. This is just one part. And then this next stage, the Lord told me after that, he said, the builders are coming. The builders are coming. This is part of the builders, but all of you are part of the builders. We just established ourselves in like, okay, we're just going to stay and just be faithful and look like idiots a lot of times, look like nothing. But yet we'd have lots of conversations and people in our home. I mean, we're just in a time of our life that we really don't have anybody in our home. That's the first and 35 years of marriage. And then, you know, a long time and 25 years of full-time ministry, 26 now. So like just establishing ourselves and doing that. But then now this is time for to spread out and be family and to empower you and to empower everybody else to come and bring, like, I think it's going to empower the whole world. What God is saying right now, I kept hearing, this is a new era. This is a new era. This is a new era. And we've heard that over and over and over again, but it really is. If you haven't seen Jesus Revolution, go see it. I want you to see it, Caleb. I don't think he's seen it yet. Go see it. I already, and you're going to be interested to hear, and I'm not going to name names, already who is trying to contradict this movie when it just came out of the hearts of people doing the very thing that you're saying when the Jesus movement happened and revolting against the system, literally. But it all went back to intimacy. Because they all truly had an encounter with Jesus, the real Jesus. People in drugs, and they're just bringing them in their houses and whatever we tease about, kumbaya, but like kumbaya is a thing. Yeah. You know, Lord, come here. And they were all gathering together in real relationship, real family, really bringing somebody in that were a drug addict, bringing them in their home, saying, you're in the rain, you're going to be okay. And then we have the religious crowd and from the system. Again, I'm not saying they're not my brothers, but we got to have conversations. And with the internet, now we're going to start saying, nope, those platforms are not, that's not healthy. People have raised up to have influence, and I might be taking some of your stuff, raised up to have influence from the internet, and it's time to raise up and say no. From the internet that have already been talking heads in the system, and they've had money and empowering them, got on TV, and now everyone thinks they're the head of the church, and they're the covering. Lies. Lies. This is what I'm saying my part.
It's true.
Amen. So I wanted to say that we did that in the denominationalism. And again, it looked like we were rebels or we were trouble causers. It's not the point. It's like, no, we ethically couldn't stay in the system anymore. To say people are in it, I'm not going to say they don't have good hearts. I'm just saying I want more for them to be free.
So I'm going to interrupt you here. Just to be clear, and I'm going to say this a lot next week. Denominationalism is about an ism.
Yes, an ism.
So the ism, capitalism, it's a way of thinking about.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about denominations himself.
Yeah.
Chris Valentin even says this. In the video, he's going to say, he said, it doesn't matter what's over the door of your church. It matters what's over the door of your heart. Mm-hmm. He said, there's people that are in these new apostolic network things, and he said they're being more religious than any other religion thing that has ever been.
Yeah.
And they are creating systems that are more oppressive than any systems ever. Like, I'm not into labels. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say this next week. I'm not into like staying firm on like, oh, we have to call it this. I don't care what you call it. I'm just talking about the idea. I only care about the mechanisms of how it works. Mm-hmm. And is it effective? Is it going to work properly?
Yeah.
And so don't get it twisted. I'm not talking, this is why I would rather just skip to the mechanisms, but I'm prefacing.
Right.
I want you to understand what is happening. And in general, we are moving away from denominationalism, mm-hmm. the way of thinking. We'll talk about that more next week.
I'm gonna leave that with you.
Okay. I just had one like little heart check thing or gut check thing. With Caleb's talking about like dispersing information that could potentially challenge maybe something that you've believed before. And maybe it won't. Maybe it will affirm. Well, it will. There are plenty of things that will affirm, and there are things that will challenge. And I know that some things that I've thought about before is like, man, what if I've believed something for 30 years and I've preached it for 30 years and then someone shows me something and that is like, actually, that's not right.
Yes.
And I think that it would be easier to say, I don't want to hear that than it would be to say, I'm going to go correct it. And I think that comes back to, is your stability and security based on your relationship with God, or is it based on the things that you've decided are true, basically? And so the fear part of like, oh man, like, but what if something comes up and it challenges, or what if it's not as stable as I thought? And it's like, well, maybe that's a good thing, because maybe your stability shouldn't have been on that you thought you were right about that. Maybe it should have been on the fact that you are loved by Jesus, and that you are, and that your joy and your love and your hope, it all stems from Him. And so, as Caleb is sharing these things, if you're like starting to get afraid, you know, good. Because it's where you're afraid is where you know, oh gosh, I must be depending on the wrong thing for my security in that area then. And so,
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. That's the last thing I had, and I'll just close it out. That's actually the very. What? Yeah. Come on. We're about 3 minutes, but so I'll just get to the rest of this next week.
I'll be quick. So we were talking about, Ben was talking about accountability, and Julie was talking about accountability. And we've been talking about this new reformation. Imagine the original formation with Abraham. He didn't have noise. He didn't have all the noise. He was accountable to God by God. So God was talking to him directly. God's trying to talk to us directly every day. But we are always on Facebook. We're always on, you know, whatever other social media. We're watching TV. God's trying to make us accountable, but we can't hear Him. So it's where they say, if you have an ear to listen, you need to make that point and listen. Listen for good.
Okay, here we go. That's so good. Thank you guys for sharing. Appreciate that. that's another one of my points for later on, but what you guys are displaying is a part of what I'm saying. I don't have all the answers. I'm just trying to do my part, and I want to start making it. So structurally, for LFMC specifically, I want to start offering, how many of you would be interested in just have a discussion group where each week I just bring different different things that I've learned, like theological topics. And I'll show you the different, I'll give you guidelines on like, here is historically what has been orthodox way of thinking about this. Here have been heresies on this. What do you guys think? And we can just discuss it. Anybody interested in that? Yeah. That's something I want to start. I also, the two things that I really want to do are going through the whole Bible. I have a strong desire for, I've already did it once in 2017 or something like that, but I love just taking a year and just going through the entire Bible. It's so eye-opening every single time. And then the second one, I would love to teach theological Christian history. So not just Christian history, but the theological, like where did we get our theology? How did it form? What were the early creeds? All of that kind of stuff. I would love to go through that type of stuff as just basic understanding of stuff. We'll end there for now. The last thing I put on here is literally what Ben said. I said, what does Caleb recommend that we do? Should I just stop believing everything I've ever believed? No, that's not the point. Do not believe it. My statement is actually super against that. I'm not trying to get you to believe something that you just genuinely don't believe. I'm trying to critique the systems that have controlled what you believe. The reason is because God is about to pour out revelation. The knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And he's doing that right now. The internet is a mechanism he is using to do that, to fulfill that. I don't know if you guys have read anything about stuff that's happened in other countries, but people are having encounters with, some of them don't even call him Jesus. They're just like, I don't know, I just had a dream and this guy, and he just said, hey, he just felt like home. It just felt like pure love. And I didn't just want to give up everything to go follow him. I hear tons of stories about that. People are wanting the real Jesus. So should you stop believing everything ever? No, don't stop. Literally, let's just talk about it. Let's just have a conversation. Let's compare notes. I have no ego in this. I have no need to convince you I'm right. I just want to share what I have. I'm always in the back of my mind talking when I'm talking to somebody. I'm like, okay, if you could answer this question, that's what I'm looking for, is do you have the answer to this? I need to see that, because this is why I believe this, because I'm stuck here. I don't know. This just makes sense to me. Do you have the part that I need? I'm always looking for that. So should you stop? No, I just say, let's be Bereans. The Bereans were people who, when Paul, you can put that scripture up if you want, Acts 17. The Bereans were more noble-minded than those of Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were true. Let's just press in. Let's not run away. Don't believe me. Don't believe me. I'll say this over and over. Do not believe me just because I say something. Stop. Stop doing that. You, press in. Press in. I am just trying to inspire your minds, but I may be wrong about some stuff that I say, and I don't know that until we talk about it. So let's be lovers of truth instead of possessors of truth. Let's just, wherever the truth is, that's all I want. I just want the truth no matter what. That's it. So let's just close your eyes. Let's just receive that.